You guys ready for the Word of God? All right. How are you guys doing, by the way? Okay, good. I got to ask. Okay, great. Katie and I, years ago when we were youth pastors, we led a ministry called Life Hurts, God Heals. And it was a teen recovery program that was connected with Celebrate Recovery. And it was really, really powerful. It was one of the most powerful things we've got to be a part of. We had 20-something teens show up for this and find true freedom from addictions, hurts, habits, and hangups. It was super powerful time. But we went to a conference to receive some training to get prepared for this course. And the lady who wrote the course was there, and she was talking, and she was awesome. She was great with youth, you could tell. And she said, she told this story about this time where she was sitting down with a teenager and they were sharing about all the different things that they had gone through, the trauma that they experienced, and it was jaw-dropping. She said it was shocking, the things that they went through and they experienced. And she said, and I'm sitting there listening to this story and I'm thinking, I have no idea what to say. Like, what do I say to this? Like, this is insane. And she would just started praying, and she's like, Lord, help me. I have no idea how to speak to this situation, to this young person. And she was reminded about a scripture in 1 Kings where it was talking about how God gave Solomon wisdom as immeasurable as the sand on the seashore. And so she prayed that prayer. She said, Lord, give me wisdom as immeasurable as the sand on the seashore. Or give me the words to speak to this young person. And then after that person shared, sure enough, the Holy Spirit showed up as he is faithful to do so, and he gave her a word in season for that young person that was weary, and it was powerful. And then from that point forward, every time she met with a young person, she would pray that prayer in her heart, Lord, give me wisdom as immeasurable as the sand on the seashore. And I remember when she was talking about that, I have also used that prayer. I took that and I said, I'm running with this. And there's been numerous times where I've been sitting across from someone and they've been sharing some really hard things and really difficult situations. And I've been praying that prayer, Lord, please give me wisdom on how to speak into this situation. And then God was faithful to do so. But what I learned in this process was that prayer wasn't just meant to be a response. It wasn't just something like you hear something that's going on in someone's life and then you respond with prayer. No, because she would pray before she went into the meeting. She would pray during the meeting. And then she would pray afterwards. So prayer was more than just an action. It was more than just a response. It was an approach to life. And I remember God told me, he said, Neil, I want you to stop trying to solve the problem before you come to me. He said, I want you to pray first, then think. Okay? Pray before you think. Because as soon as you start thinking, as soon as you start problem solving, that's something I love to do, is problem solve. As soon as you start doing that, you are taking ownership of the responsibility of the outcome. He said, and you are placing a burden on your shoulders that you aren't meant to carry. He said, so when something comes up, when a concern arises, pray first, give me responsibility, put the burden in my hands, and then let me guide you to the solution and the proper outcome. Let me guide you. Trust me first. And he reminded me of Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which my wife shared today, which I'm like, that's so the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Instead. So, thinking? No. Pray first. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So prayer was more than just an action. It was an approach to life that puts Jesus and his kingdom first. Right? Jesus said it, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things we need in this life, will be added to you. But seek first. Put him first. And that's what prayer is. In all things and at all times, pray first. And that's the title of my message this morning. Pray first. So, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, I pray that you will open up our hearts to receive from you today. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And Father, help us to respond in obedience, to yield our hearts and our lives to you and to your way, not our way. Your will be done. Lord, we love you and we bless you, Lord. I pray that anything that comes forth from my mouth that's from me will fall to the ground and come to nothing, Lord, but that your words will remain. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, we are continuing in our awakening series on prayer. Last week we talked about the second part of the who of prayer. Who do we pray for? We talked about who we pray to, and then we talked about who we pray for. And we saw Jesus' model in John 17 of praying from the inside out. And so we start with ourselves in honesty and surrender and saying, God, here's what's on my heart. I'm casting all my cares on you. I'm pouring out my heart to you, just like David, being vulnerable and real and raw. And then from that place of vulnerability where we empty ourselves out and then we get ourselves filled back up with the presence and power of God's Spirit and his will in our lives, then we start praying for those God has given us that we are responsible for. That could be our family, close friends, whoever God has given us in this season of our life. So we pray on that next circle out, like the rings from the pond. So we pray for ourselves, starting there. If we don't know where to start, start there, be honest with God. Then we pray for those God has given us. Then we pray for the church, the body of Christ, right? In all things, like James said, things are going well, pray. Things are going bad, pray. Someone's sick, pray. Someone's dealing with sin, pray, 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 pray. So that was always the answer with the body of Christ. So we pray for each other, and then we pray for the world. So through this series, we've been walking through all the different questions related to prayer. We started with motive, the why, and it is essential for us, before we even start with our why, to know who we're praying to. We talked about that a couple weeks back, that we're praying to our rock, our refuge, our fortress, our salvation, our Heavenly Father, that we know who it is we're praying to. But then why? Why are we praying? Why are we doing it? Well, out of obedience. God asks us to do it, and so we say yes. He commands us to pray. And so we obey the first and second greatest commandments when we pray. We love God with all of our heart. We're loving people as ourselves. So we pray because of obedience. We pray because of love for people, right? We freely receive, now we freely give. And then we pray because it's our created purpose. We invest in eternal things, our relationship with the Lord and people. So we know our why, and then we talked about our how. How do we pray? Jesus taught us to pray, and he says, pray simple, sincere, believing, unceasing prayer. So simple, doesn't need to be a lot of words, doesn't need to be complex. It's sincere, it's from the heart, just like the tax collector beating his chest, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner, right? So we're sincere, it's simple, and then we're believing. We believe that God hears us, that he answers us, and then we persevere and remain loyal in our prayers to the very end, right? And so we continue to pray. We don't give up. We're like the persistent widow. So that's how. And then we talked about what we pray. We pray the word of God. We pray truth. We align our hearts with God's will, and we pray that his will be done. And so we pray scripture, and then we pray guided by the Spirit of God, grounded in scripture and guided by the Spirit. That's how we pray. And the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. He will guide our prayers as well. And so then when we're praying, not only is it rooted in the Word of God, absolute truth, but it's breathed on by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then lives are transformed and changed through prayer. And then we talked about who we're praying to, our loving Father, and then the people that we're praying for from the inside out last week, right? Prayer is powerful. And when we pray, just like that vision, Jesus is able to reach people that we can't reach. It's a beautiful thing. So today we're talking about the last question. When? The when. When do we pray? And how do we build a rhythm of prayer in our lives? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Well, there we go. If we're trying to know what the will of God is for us, well, there it is. He says it. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. So when are we supposed to pray? Always, all the time. It's supposed to be, again, it's not just an action. It is an approach towards life. It's the way we live in this world as followers of Christ. It is literally integrated into our worldview, the way we see and engage with the world around us. That is prayer. And to make it simple, you know, we pray all the time, but how do we do that in a practical way? What does that look like? What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Because clearly, I'm not praying right now. So, like, I'm not doing it. Well, what does that mean? Okay, so how do we do this? How do we cultivate rhythms of prayer in our lives? So, the when of prayer. Number one, pray first and pray last. Pray first and pray last. The first thing we do when we wake up in the morning is we pray. First things first, right? Prioritize first what matters most. So the first thing we do when we wake up, when that alarm goes off, before we get out of bed, we pray. And our first thought is, why? Why is that alarm going off? Our first thought is, why did I do this to myself? You know, the alarm is such a jerk. I was sleeping perfectly and it interrupted me. So that's our first thought, I understand. But then after we get over that first thought, then we pray and we say, all right, Lord, I give this day to you. So to be honest with you, one of my first prayer typically is help. Like, God, give me strength to get out of bed. Like, that's literally my first prayer. I'm like, Lord, please help me, give me grace to get up. I'm so tired. Alarm clock, you know, I got to get up my kids. Lord, help me. So that is my first prayer. Grace, help, strength. But then I give this day to you. I give everyone everything to you. And thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given me. Thank you. That's it. Something as simple as that. But I'm starting my day acknowledging that God is with me in that moment and that this life is his. It is an offering to him. Pray first. Psalm 139, 17 and 18 says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." When we go to sleep, he's with us. And when I awake, he's still there. So why not? First thing, he's right there. He's within us. Why not acknowledge the fact that he's there? God, thank you for being here. You are with me when I awake. I am still with you. You are still with me. We acknowledge his presence. Psalms 143 verse 8 says, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life." First thing in the morning, Lord, this day is yours. I entrust my life to you. May the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. Soon as I wake up, after I get over the alarm clock debacle, then, Lord, thank you that you love me. So, we pray first, and then we pray last. The same thing in the evening. When you lay down, and you're about to go to sleep, right before you go to sleep, pray. Pray. Reflect on the day. Take a moment and reflect back on your day. So many times, Katie and I will be laying down in bed, and we're ready to go to sleep, and so I'll pray a prayer. And sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you, sometimes my prayer is, Lord, I pray that you'll help us sleep good, amen. Because I'm really, really tired. But at other times, we'll have an opportunity, and maybe I'll start to pray that prayer, but because I gave God my attention for a moment, the Holy Spirit brings something to my heart. And I reflect back, and maybe it was a burden I was carrying that day. And I need to give that to the Lord before I sleep so I can sleep. And so we'll pray, Lord, just cast our cares upon you because you care for us, God. This, I've been worrying about this. I give this to you. So surrendering whatever we're carrying that day, whatever we encounter that day at the end of our day, and then also praying for people. Maybe you got a text from someone who just lost someone in their life, or someone's sick, and God brings them to your mind as you're laying on your bed. How awesome is that? The Holy Spirit highlights. This happens all the time to Katie and I. We're like, just going to go to sleep, and then somebody comes onto one of our minds, and so we start praying for someone. And then sometimes it turns into like a little prayer time, you know, we were not expecting. But it's awesome. You close your day offering the things that you've encountered to the Lord and the people you've encountered to the Lord. And you give them to him in prayer. And then you pray for some good sleep. Like, Lord, help me to sleep well. You know, give your beloved sleep. And so you pray and you ask for peaceful sleep. Psalms 4, verses 3 through 6 says, "Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord." Trust him. Yield your day to him. And what's amazing is you're bookending your day with Jesus. Saying, Lord, I give you my day that I'm about to go into. And Lord, I give this day that I've just lived to you. And your sleep. You're beginning your sleep with prayer, and you're ending your sleep with prayer. It's like guarding that time of rest. How awesome is that? So pray first, pray last. My parents used to pray this one over me every night, and I memorized it as a kid because they would pray Psalms 4:8. "In peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." I remember them praying that over me every night as a kid, and I remembered that scripture, and that was a promise for me. And there was times where I dealt with fear, like major fear. In my teen years, I had this like struggle with fear, and I would hold on to that verse over and over again. It's powerful. So pray first and pray last. Number two, when do we pray? We have closed door prayer. Closed door prayer. This is solitude time with the Lord. Time that is set apart just for Jesus. Every day we should have a period of time. This is essential in our walk with Jesus, that is alone with the Father, just for him. Jesus made it clear when he taught on prayer that there is to be set time aside to be alone with God. What did he say? He said, when you pray, go into your room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. So he says, get alone with the Father and pray. Get alone with God, just him. It's time that's set aside, not only alone with God, but only for God. So it is not multitasking prayer time, okay? It's not that, no, it's just him. Undivided attention for the Lord. Whether it's 5 minutes or it's an hour, undivided solitude time with Jesus. Closed door prayer. Jesus taught it and he practiced it. Isaiah 50 verse 4 and 5 says this. It says, "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. There's something about the mornings in Scripture. And that's typically when most people I know do their solitude time with the Lord. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. And this is actually a messianic prophecy. It goes on in verse 6 talking about, I offer my back to those who beat me, my cheek to those who pulled out my beard. And so this is talking about Jesus. But Jesus exemplified this awakening of the Lord, that God would wake him up morning by morning and he would awaken his ear to hear what God was speaking to him. And this is what happens in solitude. We can, not only are we praying, are we worshiping, are we seeking the Lord, but we're hearing from the Lord. We're listening for the voice of God. Mark chapter 1 verse 35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, this happened multiple times in the Gospels. He would go away before the sun would rise alone to pray. Verse 36, Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you!" Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else." He's like, "Everyone's looking for me? Let's leave." No, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So Jesus taught and practiced time set aside to be alone with God that is only for him. Solitude time with Jesus. Jesus had closed door time with the Father. He shut out everyone else. And he says, "God, this is for you and you alone." And during this time, he comes out. Look what happens. He heard the word of the Lord. He comes out of that time and he says, "All right, guys, I know what we're doing. We're going over here." He said, "I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only speak what I hear the Father saying." Where did he do that? When did that happen? When he's alone with the Lord. That's when God showed him, "Hey, here's where you're going. Here's what you're doing. Here's what I'm saying." Solitude time with Jesus. So he practiced it, he taught it. And not only is that time us praying to God, but that's us hearing from the Lord as well. So we all need closed door prayer time. So we got pray first, pray last. We have closed door prayer. And then number 3, open door prayer. Closed door and open door prayer. So what do I mean by this? This is when we talk about that prayer without ceasing, what that looks like. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." And then Colossians 4:2 says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." There's a clue there. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Psalm 16:8, David talked about it. "I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." This is an ongoing awareness of God, that he is always with us. He's always by our side. It's acknowledging him. It's inviting him into our life. It's bringing our life to him. It's all of the above. It is open door policy with the Lord, that we never close the door on God. We can close the door on the world to be alone with God, but we never close the door on the Father. We always keep that door open. He is always welcome into every part of our life. Because if we spend time with the Lord and then we close the door on him, then we go into our lives. That's the hardest part of our life, is when we're out there in the world. Why would we want to close the door on God during that time? That's when we need him present in our lives, and acknowledging him and inviting him in and bringing things to him. And Jesus talked about being watchful, to watch, to be alert all the time, keeping our eyes on the Lord and keeping the door open to God throughout the day. Bring what you experience to God and invite God into what you experience. So when you experience your day, when you have a really hard meeting at work and you come out of it, like, "Lord, God, man, that was really hard, Father. Lord, give me wisdom moving forward." You have a bad news comes your way, first thing you do, you pray first. Lord Jesus, be with so-and-so, God. They're struggling right now, God. I pray you'll just be with them. First thing, you bring it to God. When good things happen, you get a raise at your job. Thank you, Lord. First thing, thank God. Gratitude, bring it to the Lord. So good things happen, bring it to God. Bad things happen, bring it to God. And then in the moment, invite him in. Just like that counseling experience when you're sitting across from someone and they're sharing something and you're like, God, what do I say? Ask God, pray, invite him into that moment. When you're about to go into a meeting that's important at work, Father, give me wisdom. Help me as I go into this meeting. Invite him in. So bring what you experience to God and then invite God into your experience. That is open door prayer. Keep the door open. Keep God into every part of your life. Invite him in. Share your world with God and let God shape your world. And this is where prayer becomes more than simply an action. It becomes a state of awareness, acknowledgement, attentiveness, alertness. And just so our eyes are always set on the Lord. And like I said, it's like a worldview. You're seeing the world through the lens that God is always with you. And so everything is filtered through him. And that's what God invites us to as we follow Jesus. So like I said, it could be a counseling. When you're driving home from work, talking to the Lord about your day. One time that happens a lot for me is when I'm about to come into the house, if I've had a hard day, I'm like, all right, Lord, whew, give me energy to be present to my kids, to be present to my wife right now. Lord, help me. I give everything from this day. I'm going to leave that in your hands, and I'm going to be present to these people that you've given me that I'm responsible for. And so those moments, anything at all, open door. Okay, so pray first, pray last, closed door prayer, open door prayer, and then lastly, morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. In the early church, the Benedictine monks would practice the daily office, is what they called it. And so they would pray at specified times throughout the day. So they pray first thing in the morning, they pray like 3 hours later in mid-morning, then they pray like at lunchtime at noon, then they pray mid-afternoon. And so they had all these set times for prayer, and the idea was open door. Like, keep God on your mind all day. Like, always inviting him in. Keep your focus on him. And so that's why they would practice this thing called the daily office. Well, what's awesome is there's a really great tool out there for this. It's super helpful. It's an app. It's called Lectio 365, L-E-C-T-I-O. Talking about Lectio Divina, meditating on scripture. So 365 days a year, they offer a morning, noon, and evening guided prayer time. And so they have scripture, you walk through scripture, you pray. It's awesome. And it's a guided prayer time, morning, noon, and night. And it's a great little tool that the body of Christ has created to help cultivate this constant awareness of God and letting him be a part of our days throughout our day. I will say this, the midday prayer one is the absolute best. I love the midday prayer. The morning one is like 10 minutes. Midday is about 5 minutes, and the evening is about like 7 or 8. But the midday prayer is awesome because they pray through the Lord's Prayer, and I love that. It's how Jesus taught us to pray. But this is also why midday, I think, is really important. A lot of times, our morning prayer time is our solitude time, right? And if we pray before we go to bed, maybe that's our evening. But the midday, there's something about that, because when we start our day, at the beginning of our day, we don't have any burdens on our shoulders yet. We just started. We're getting up, we're getting prepared, typically, and we might have some things lingering from the day before. We haven't really encountered anything yet. And then when we're going to bed, we're like, all right, day's over. I'm just getting ready to sleep, right? But when you're in the middle of your day, you feel the weight of the day. In the times where I've set aside time right after lunch for 5 minutes, sitting in my car or whatever it is, and would just take that time and engage with God in prayer, every time it was just powerful. Because I was feeling the weight of that day in that moment. And I was able to say, all right, God, I'm inviting you into my actual life. I'm not just having my Jesus time and then closing the door on you for the rest of the day. I want you to be in every part of my life, and so I'm inviting you in. And so we yield our days to the Lord. So Psalms 55, 16 and 17 says, but I will call on God and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress and the Lord hears my voice. So in all of this, praying first, praying last, closed door, open door, morning, noon, and night, I encourage you, always start with being honest before God. Start with whatever is heavy on your heart. Bring that, be real with God like David, cast it before him, whether that's morning, noon, and night, whether it's solitude, whether it's right before you go to bed. Throw your heart before God. Give him everything that's on your heart, and then let him lead you in to praying for the people around you. So I want to close with this. Where might the Holy Spirit be inviting you to grow in prayer? Where is the Holy Spirit inviting you to grow in your prayer life? What's he saying to you? What's the Holy Spirit highlighting to you? Maybe it's that closed door time, that time of solitude. Like, oh, man, I really need to have some time set aside. Like I said, start small if you need to, even if it's 5 minutes. Maybe that's where the Holy Spirit is drawing you, is to have that closed door time alone in intimacy with your Heavenly Father. Or maybe you have that. Maybe you spend time with the Lord every day, or you have a rhythm of that. And you know, we have days where we're off and stuff, but maybe you have a rhythm of that. And the thing that God is inviting you is to keep the door open, to invite God into your day, throughout your day, to keep your awareness of God present in your mind. And bringing your life to God and inviting him into your life. Maybe that's where the Holy Spirit is leading you. Or maybe you're doing all of this and that daily office sounds like something kind of cool, a new wrinkle to kind of add to a structure of your life. That's great. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Would you guys bow your heads and close your eyes with me? If I can just invite the prayer team as well to come forward. Just take a moment right where you are. Ask the Holy Spirit, God, what are you saying to me? It might not even relate to anything that I've been talking about. That's fine, because he's the boss. What are you saying to me, Holy Spirit? God, what are you speaking to me in this moment? Where is the Spirit of God inviting you to grow? And listen, if you need prayer, if you're here today and you say, man, I need some prayer, I'm going through something hard, I need someone to stand with me, we want to pray with you. That's why our prayer team is available. Obviously, we believe in prayer. And so if you need prayer for anything at all, let us stand with you in prayer. We would love to pray with you this morning. But ask the Lord. Maybe you're in a place where you really just haven't been praying. Maybe you pray before meals, and that's kind of been it for you. Maybe God's inviting you to pray first and last. Just something as simple as that. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will speak to us. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And awaken our ears to hear as the learned. And may we listen and obey whatever you invite us to. Help us, God, to keep you in front of our minds at all times. Lord, may we always have the door open, bringing everything we experience to you, inviting you into every experience, and being led by your Spirit as we pray for others. Lord, we love you, Father. You are so good. And we give this time to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand to your feet with me? We're going to close with a song of worship. If you need prayer for anything at all, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. It's your
Dear Father, I want to pray a blessing on your people. Lord, I pray now that you would be in their hearts. Lord, help them to help us all to develop that rhythm, that constant rhythm of prayer, to have that open line of communication to you. That as we are experiencing the highs and lows of our lives, you are there. We feel your presence with us. Lord, and as we look back at our days, as we look forward into our days, help us to do so with you by our side. Lord, I feel like David had a true connection with you. So many of the Psalms speak to the closeness. In Psalm 66, it says this simply, truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Lord, help us to feel that in our own lives. Help us to know that you are listening to each word that we say to you. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this challenge. We thank you for the openness of prayer. Lord, I bless your people. I pray your blessing on your people. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great day and a great week. If you have some time to help sort cans, that'd be great. Fill out that card for a small group. Leave it in the collection. But thank you so much.